right. Good morning, everybody. Today is Thursday, September 22nd, 2016. And this is Before the First Cup of Jewels here on UCY.TV. Happy Thursday, everyone. It is a sunny 66 degrees and very pleasant here in upstate New York, though I do see it looks like that rain is on the way. So where do we leave off yesterday? We titled the show Voices in Your Head. Microwave / tetrahertz frequencies and molecular scanners. And we had really gotten into some very surprising technologies that appear to be spinning out of mad science gone mad, and of course, all in the name of the military and keeping you safe. These millimeter wave scanners have been in use since the, I would say, mid 2000s, they all first started with good old Chertoff, former head of the DHS. After 9/11 and Katrina, and they put these millimeter wave scanners into all the airports. These were known as the naked body scanners. There were lots of issues over civil liberties. They decided they were going to put in software to be able to cover up the naughty bits. So TSA agents couldn't be swapping your nudie millimeter waved scan pictures around on the TSA network. But they're doing a lot more with millimeter wave than just doing nudie scans and looking for explosives at airports. We found out, we looked at some of the things that are going on up in space. We have the CubeSat project, and there's all these different agencies that are launching these little CubeSat satellites, all in the name of getting internet to every part of the globe, to connect every device as part of the Internet of Everything. And to help that along, we're going to have the Air Force plasma bomb the sky to be able to increase radio reception so every little detail of the Internet of Everything will be able to connect. And I'm trying to find here, a story queued up yesterday. Thank goodness this week is almost over. It's been so hectic. I don't know. We had a story here somewhere about the CubeSats, but I guess we'll have to, if while I'm talking, I'll see it, I will break in with breaking news. But these CubeSats, not only were we going to have the Air Force doing stuff with these, but NASA had offered to release any CubeSats, 10 by 10 by 10 centimeter little satellites, it'll be able to make this wireless mesh in the sky utilizing technologies such as millimeter wave and 5G to be able to connect anything and everything and do real-time statistics, real-time commands, real-time monitoring at all times of things on the ground, including people, machinery, streetlights, smart homes, smart whatever you want. This is part of this closing of the bag to any privacy ever again, is what is actually happening here. And one of the things that we discovered is that these technologies are being studied by the military, by healthcare, by Homeland Security. There's all kinds of different things that you can do with millimeter wave. And a few of the big universities had done some presentations back a while ago that we had looked at, and this one was a Microsoft presentation. I just wanted to hit the very beginning of this. This is the one that was out of the University of Wisconsin-Madison. We talked about this a couple days ago, just briefly. It says, features of millimeter wave networks, there is an abundant spectrum. And of course, that's what's so exciting, because we need to be able to open it up to high speed. We had discovered that it was going to be up to a gigabit per second. They were, of course, trying to sell this as how wonderful if we were using 5G with a millimeter wave booster as part of this new Google autonomous sky bending solar drone internet that they want to beam down all over the planet, you would be able to get a gigabit per second upload, download, to be able to, of course, do movies on your mobile device out on a mountaintop in Africa or wherever in the Rockies. You'd be able to get HD virtual reality real-time beamed down to your head. You could do, of course, real-time mobile syncing your phone to be able to buy things or wave it at a door, and soon to be the little implantable in your hand. Boop. Your magic powers will all be getting their signal from the sky. They'll be able to also scan for things remotely. They'll be able to look for explosives, we discovered. They'll be able, with touch arts radiation at airports, to scan you with laser. We did that. Tell what you had for breakfast. By one molecule. One single molecule on your lip. From 50 meters away. And remember, that was already in 2012, so who even knows where they are at today? The U.S. military has made strides in developing lasers, microwaves, and other energy-directed weapons, and they could use them more wisely, topped armed force officials and U.S. lawmakers told an industry conference on Tuesday. The officials, and this was June of 2015, officials described the weapons in various stages of development and testing by the U.S. Navy, Marine Corps, Air Force, Army, but said more work was needed to scale the technology up for larger weapons, develop tactics for their use, and ensure sufficient funding. Now, another thing that we've been seeing, I don't know if anyone saw, but they declared an emergency in North Carolina last night because of the riots going on in Charlotte. Another unarmed person was killed by an itchy trigger finger. People are pissed off. They called out the National Guard. We saw terror attacks, this quote-unquote, big quotation marks, terror attacks. I mean, they could have been. They were homemade pressure cookers dropped in dumpsters between New Jersey and New York City. I just saw something somewhere else. I mean, they had the stabbing in Minneapolis, but I thought there was another explosive one. But what we're finding more and more, and this happened back, I don't even remember what the event was. It was just recently, though, a few months ago, very first time ever, they'd sent a robot in to go disarm a bomb or to go apprehend a suspect, to go into the building where he was holding hostages and then kill the suspect. And whatever, I don't remember what event that was. It was a few months back. But they did. That was the first time ever. Well, I see again now. They're talking about using robots, sending them in, defusing bombs. That one in New Jersey, when they were chasing after the dude that made those bombs in New York and New Jersey, they found a bag with five of them in it and sent the robot in. And whoops, the robot accidentally detonated one. But hey, it made for a good story. And lots of flashing lights on the newsreel. Get people afraid. Oh my God, it was a bomb. But right on the tails of that, we have a video come out of PBS NewsHour titled "How Robots Are Joining the Police Force." Now, we called that long, long, long ago. People are crying the blues, police brutality. Oh my God, they're beating us up. They didn't know I was holding a book, not a gun. Guys, careful what you ask for, because not only did I predict way, way, way back, and now it's starting to come true, that at some point in the future, they're just gonna get rid of this police brutality problem by giving it to artificial intelligence and some sort of K5 or Atlas robot who doesn't have any emotions, who doesn't have any empathy, who's just running on algorithms, and has all kinds of really cool taxpayer-financed weapons on board. Remember, we talked too about what happened to the big push for non-lethal weapons. That had been a big push way back, and then all of a sudden we just started having shootings all the time. Every time you had a hand that moved the wrong way, you ended up getting shot. Well, eventually, I think that this is where a lot of this tetrahertz is going to come in, is not only with the robots joining the police force, but the robots joining the police force equipped with new technologies such as tetrahertz millimeter wave. Now, let's read this. It's a story that came out of MIT Technology Review, May 20th, 2016. So that was just this year. Speedy tetrahertz-based systems could detect explosives. Now, remember, there are two places that they are looking at implementing this stuff. One is in the sky and one is on the ground. In the sky, of course, is going to be to connect the full Internet of Things and the mesh and be able to do the remote sensing. But on the ground, they could be using the tetrahertz lasers in places such as airports. We already read about that from 4 years ago. Or on things such as police force robots. The spectroscopic system with chip-scale lasers cuts detection time from minutes to microseconds for explosives. Tetrahertz spectroscopy, which uses the band of electromagnetic radiation between microwave and infrared, is a promising security technology because it can extract spectroscopic fingerprints of a wide range of materials, including chemicals used in explosives. Guys, my prediction is going to be that we are going to have some of these police force robots with some of these technologies embedded on them. We read a story yesterday that it talked about already they are using some of this millimeter wave technology in cities at stoplights. Like, who knew that you were being scanned? And of course, they're not going to tell you where. But who knew that you were being scanned when you were sitting in a traffic light? I mean, I figured maybe traffic light cameras. But we discovered the tetrahertz millimeter wave can not only carry data, but they can also carry sound and HD video. This is the promise of some of this new 5G millimeter wave conglomerate. Traditional tetrahertz spectroscopy requires a radiation source that is heavy and about the large size of a suitcase. But we read a story. There was a cut sheet. And you have to excuse me just because we have so many tabs. And I told you, this is a big one for me to jump on board and start doing waves. I mean, this one is just like so massively huge. You know, excuse me for having 100 tabs open. But as we have the police force that's spitting out all these new technologies, I don't remember even what I was saying or what story I was on. Oh, here it is. They'll be able to not only detect chemicals and explosives, but they'll be able to bag and tag you. They'll be able to identify you. They have these new scanners that can scan your face and tell whether or not even your genetic makeup, the angles of your jaw or your ears or your eyebrows. Statistically, would make you a potential criminal. And that was some Israeli technology that they were working on. Traditional tetrahertz spectroscopy requires radiation sources that are heavy and about the size of a large suitcase. That's what I was going to say. So we saw a cut sheet back a few days ago where they made it really small. And they can do all kinds of detections for all kinds of things. This was a Department of Energy spin out. And I don't remember the name of the company. I think that might have been 2 days ago. And even my notes, if you go to the show, they're like so long. Trying to find anything is absolutely impossible. But they're not the size of a suitcase anymore, so don't you worry about that. They're getting smaller and faster, and this device is so efficient because it emits tetrahertz radiation, which is known as a frequency comb, meaning a range of frequencies that are perfectly and evenly spaced. and it allows them to do very precise determinations of what is being scanned. The frequencies are also dependent on what you're scanning, of course. But getting practical as a proof of concept, researchers use their system to measure spectral signatures of not a chemical sample, but an optical device called an etalon, made from a water of gallium arsenide, which is pretty, sounds radioactive to me, and poisonous, whose spectral properties could be calculated theoretically in advance, providing a clear standard of comparison. The new system's measurement were a very good fit for the Estolon's tetrahertz transmission profile, suggesting that it could be very useful for detecting chemicals. Because they use these very inventive phase correction techniques, and this is how they do these waves to be able to get more accurate, they've demonstrated that even with pulse sources, you can extract data that is reasonably high resolution, and that is exactly what they want. They want to be able to very accurately determine what they are looking at a distance. You know, pretty soon in the future, not only are you going to already be scanned, bagged, and tagged before you ever see a police officer, but I think that that might become something of the future. Get out of the car, please. Stand still for your scanning. There won't need to be a search warrant. That was one of the questions that we ran across yesterday. Where is the informed consent? Where is your protection of privacy as you're getting scanned in every airport with these tetrahertz lasers that are able to determine what you had for breakfast? What if you don't want the world to know that you like salmon squished on toast? Or my mother used to eat the sardines. Here's a story from 2010. So now let's take this a step further. So we might have it in the air. We might have the military with their hands on it as well. The battlefields. We got Homeland Security now looking at ways to detect chemicals, detect biological materials, detect bombs. We've covered that over the last few days. This is June 15, 2010, out of a publication called New Atlas. Looks like a technology mag. Millimeter wave TV camera sees through smoke, fog, and even walls. Yes, even walls. We talked about that a few days back. Science and Technology Research Laboratory of Japan's national public broadcaster, NHK, and they cover Fukushima quite often. I deal with NHK when I do my Fukushima news, has developed a millimeter wave TV camera that operates under the same principle as radar, taking images using radio waves instead of visible light. Yes. This is how it works. This is just outside of the optical spectrum, right between microwave and optical. Technology allows objects hidden behind obstacles such as smoke, fog, or even plywood to be captured live as moving images. This system emits millimeter waves in the 60 gigahertz band, which bounce off the subjects and are captured by a receiver beam that scans up and down and right and left at the speed of 2.3 hertz to produce a 2D image. And I just saw yesterday, remember this is 2010, I just saw yesterday now they released a camera that does 3D scanning with millimeter wave. And why this is so important, guys, you need to realize, is this is the technology that Google is getting ready to launch as part of this Project Skybender out of a spaceport in New Mexico, where they have all kinds of history doing Manhattan Project stuff. We have Virgin Galactic and SpaceX working with NASA in the spaceport there in New Mexico. We have the University of Albuquerque having Department of Defense contractors there, giving lectures about their new high-powered microwave weapons at TEDx Albuquerque. We talked about that yesterday. And even more so, I had done a story back in Antimedia It's probably a year and a half ago or so already. They were working on the new laser weapons to take drones out of the sky autonomously. And they were doing that testing where? Oh, in the New Mexico desert. Yeah, New Mexico. Though I love New Mexico. Oh, New Mexico. There's a lot of mad science gone mad research that happens in New Mexico under the covers in a railway car line out in the desert. Because the system is sending out waves, it can selectively ignore an obscuring foreground object such as a wall based on the time it takes the wave to reflect back to the antenna instead of producing a picture based on the waves bouncing off a hidden subject that takes longer to reflect back. And at the moment, the resultant image is more a grainy mess than high resolution. But the shape and the movement of the person, and in the case of the NHK demonstration, a mannequin, can be easily made out. And a low resolution suggests that this technology would be better suited for rescue applications rather than NHK's original intentions for technology of TV reports during disasters. Like what? This was pre-Fukushima, guys. This was 2010, and Japan was doing for disasters to be able to get inside walls for, like, what? A place like a nuclear reactor you won't be able to get into after it blows up and melts down three times? Three reactors? Yeah, just like that. Now, I have to say, from everything we've read in the 6 years since then, technology has come a long way. They have gotten to where things are high res and 3D. We can use it to boost 5G to make it way faster. Let's take a look now. Yesterday, Cheryl had asked in chat about seeing a chart of the electromagnetic spectrum. If you search on Wiki, search Wiki and electromagnetic spectrum, and you will find off to the right-hand side is a really nice little chart. So let's just start here. We have at the very upper top of the electromagnetic spectrum is your ionizing radiation. Of course, this is the stuff that's extremely dangerous. We have gamma rays, and gamma rays, studying from Fukushima, we learned gamma rays are the types of rays that can't really be blocked by much of anything except for lots of lead, lots and lots of concrete, go down underground in a bunker somewhere. But if you're standing in your living room, believe that you are getting gamma rays from space, your ceiling, your insulation isn't going to protect you from those gamma rays. Those are rays that we are exposed to all the time. We then have our hard x-rays and our soft x-rays, as well as extreme ultraviolet, and then your near ultraviolet. And those are some of the energies you're going to be getting when you're out in the sun. But then next, under the near ultraviolet, is where you start getting the visible spectrum. And that's where you have the near infrared, the mid infrared, and the far infrared. And that's where you're going to feel your heat. And they already have infrared cameras where they can scan in the dark and see any type of living creature. Make sure you get your shiny $2 space blanket to run away in the woods. And this is frightening. But then, underneath there is where we have the microwave and radio wave frequencies, and that is right underneath the visible light. And this is where some of these energy weapons and technologies that we've been discussing reside. We have the EHF, which is the extremely high frequency, the SHF, the super high frequency, the UHF, ultra high frequency, the VHF, the very high frequency. Like, come on, this is like alphabet soup. And of course, UH and VHF is where we used to have our old school TVs. Isn't that where we used to get like the channel 29? That was our one of our I think it was UHF, right? Isn't that what it was? Maybe it was VHF. We used to be able to watch some special TV besides the broadcast ABC, CBS, NBC. But I'm thinking that the 300 gigahertz to the 30 gigahertz, the extremely high frequency to the super high frequency, is where we're talking about right now. And that is where this, I found that document I was looking for before. That is where this millimeter wave resides. millimeter wave is between 30 gigahertz and 300 gigahertz. Submillimeter wave in the tetrahertz range is between 300 gigahertz and 3 tetrahertz. And then the microwave range is 300 megahertz to 30 gigahertz. So it looks like what we are working with here are the first two ranges of microwave and radio wave right outside of the visible spectrum. The far infrared visible spectrum goes up to 3 tetrahertz, and then just below that is 300 gigahertz, and just below that is 30 gigahertz. So it's just under the optical spectrum. So I just wanted to kind of point that out so we knew where we were talking about on that electromagnetic spectrum. And I found a story, interestingly, that just came out on the 19th of September 2016 out of IEEE Spectrum. We've been talking about Google and their Skybender program and these solar drones that are going to be in the sky delivering you high-speed gigabit per second internet to connect everything on the planet from their drones and working with their little CubeSats. We read out of Scientific American how they're going to utilize these millimeter waves to boost the speeds of the 5G technology for these new radios. Well, check this out. IEEE Spectrum, September 19, 2016, real 5G will broadcast above 6 gigahertz, say analysts. I don't know who I was talking to the other day. Maybe it was even JJ. I think it was when JJ was on the show with me on Tuesday. And he was saying that, you know, once they get their foot in the door here, they're just going to keep increasing these bandwidth, this type of electromagnetic frequency beamed all over the planet is going to affect biology on light on planet Earth. And we listened to an interview by Jeremy Hammond. No, that was Ed Hammond. Jeremy, I remember Jeremy's last name. Jeremy was a civil engineer out of Silicon Valley. We listened to it at the beginning of the week, who discovered that his illnesses were coming from sensitivities to electromagnetic radiation. His wife was a doctor. They started to really dig into what was happening to him biologically and what type of effect electromagnetic frequencies, and back from his perspective, we were talking about microwave frequencies for cell phones, as well as wireless routers in the 2.4 gigahertz to 5.8 gigahertz range, and how they were becoming more and more ubiquitous. Phone companies are putting new little cell towers on top of telephone poles outside of your window, and you didn't even know it. And there are warnings on cell phones in the small print already saying, don't put this within, and I don't remember, I put it in the notes. It was within so many inches of your body. I mean, you don't need this near you. And as our rooms and our world is filled now everywhere with all kinds of waves that we can never get away from, they're finding that they could have potentially detrimental effects as you're being bathed in these waves on a daily basis. Well, check this out. Brace yourself. The debate over what should and what shouldn't count as 5G has only begun. And remember, this is all just the beginning. That's the thing about this stuff. We could talk about this stuff today. In 2 years from now, you're going to go, holy shit, Jewel. We talked about this way back. Look, they're talking about it on CNN. It's the way it always goes. I mean, you have to understand, on this show, I spent a lot of time reading like science journals where they're just publishing their research out of a university that was funded by DARPA or some rich tech billionaire that hasn't quite made it out to the IPO spin out to where they've gone commercialized. This is just proof of concept that now maybe they're rolling out into some testing. And we look a lot of, we look at a lot of also defense.gov and some of the other defense publications. They're talking about some of the new technologies, R&D that's going on. And we look at a lot of the university publications directly that they're excited to make their press release. But again, it has not been rolled out into a commercial story. And that is why, time and time again, something that we've talked about way back when, when it finally comes out in the mainstream, you're like, oh, I already know all about this. Jill talked about this on her show. Which is a good thing because we're doing a primer, but it's a bad thing because you have to remember, like they've said many, many times, the stuff that's coming out now, they've already had for a long time. This isn't stuff that's brand spanking new. We discovered back a few days ago in one IEEE Spectrum article that they've actually been using millimeter wave and tetrahertz back since the 50s. They were using them for outer space. They've been using them to do spectroscopic discoveries on heavenly bodies, such as the moon and Mars. And now they're going to turn them back toward Earth and start utilizing these technologies not only to surveil and connect things, but to be able to have a connection to everything. Brace yourself. The debate over what should be and what shouldn't be considered as 5G has only begun. Defining the next generation of wireless networks is complicated, partly because engineers are developing so many exciting technologies at once. Ding, ding. Disruptive technologies, people. Remember, ready to take that bowl and flip it upside down on its head. With everything that we know and love today, it's all going to be very, very different in the not-too-distant future. But they have yet now to agree on a standard by which 5G networks will operate. Within that murkiness is plenty of room for disagreement over how and where 5G will emerge. But Stephanie Terrell, an analyst at IHS Markit, recently weighed in by criticizing the use of 5G to describe a sub 6 gigahertz development in the research notes. Radio waves in the sub 6 gigahertz range are considered the most desirable among carriers for delivering cellular signals because they can penetrate materials such as concrete and glass. Ding! Concrete and glass. Two ranges in particular. Now, of course, that's good because you could be inside of a building. Like with your 802.11, it doesn't work very well through concrete walls. If you're in a basement and you're trying to get wireless, it might be spotty depending on where you are. You might need a booster because it doesn't penetrate concrete block very well. Same thing with your cell phone. You know, 4G still seems to have a little bit of a problem when you're inside buildings. I know a lot of my friends that upgraded to 4G complain because the only time they can really make calls is if they go outside. But don't worry about it, because 6G, 5G that's running on sub 6G is coming. And they'll be able to go through glass and concrete like cutting butter with a knife. Two ranges in particular, frequencies around 800 megahertz and 1.9 gigahertz have long dominated the U.S. cellular landscape, and that must be maybe some of the older 3Gs. But these frequencies are becoming crowded as more and more users consume data and more devices come online, and a bevy of other consumer technologies, including Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, microwave ovens, and satellite radio, operate at frequencies between 1.9 gigahertz and 6 gigahertz. And I told you, that's the 2.4 gigahertz that your microwaves and your 802.11 routers work on, and now the new 5.8 gigahertz. Those are the newer wireless routers, as well as some of your cordless phones. They did 2.4, 900, 2.4, and 5.8 as well. And back in the old days, you turn on a microwave oven and all of a sudden your wireless connection went down at dinner time. That's exactly why, because they are sharing some of the same frequencies. So carriers have begun to browse higher frequencies for open bands that they can co-opt for cellular use. Many have their sights on much shorter millimeter waves that fall between the 30 and 300 gigahertz range. And we just looked at that when we were looking at the spectrum. It's just below the visible range. And there are plenty of frequencies available in the millimeter wave range because they have only been used for specialized applications such as remote sensing, ding, 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 and military radar. Ding, ding. See, this was military, as well as some of the astronomical stuff. for a very long time, but there hasn't really been anything commercial. So now we have commercial and military all merging together in one big happy orgy. We're going to let places such as Verizon and Google utilize these new frequencies. But waves at these frequencies cannot travel as far or make it through as many obstacles. So many companies and researchers are still figuring out what it would mean to integrate them into the future 5G networks. Obviously, the low latency and high bandwidth stuff like AR and VR, augmented reality and virtual reality, will definitely benefit from millimeter wave. Ding, ding. This is 24/7. Put your goggles on and plug into the matrix type stuff. But the way the technology works right now is still pretty power hungry and requires a complicated array of antennas. But hey, if we plasma bomb the sky to be able to boost radio reception, you know, that's what I'm thinking. They already said that. That was part of that plan, is to be able to boost reception for some of these new little CubeSats that are going to be doing this stuff in the sky. Given the situation, it is not surprising that carriers are also focused on finding more efficient ways to deliver data on lower sub-6G frequencies. And they are improving their networks through technologies such as MIMO, which is multiple input, multiple output. This is where they do that optiplex type stuff, which carriers add antennas to existing 4G base stations to handle more traffic from more users at once. And in fact, some companies have begun to concentrate their 5G efforts on kinds of sub-6 gigahertz improvements. Chinese smartphone manufacturer Huawei, and we've talked about Huawei before. Huawei isn't just a Chinese cell phone manufacturer. Huawei was the company that started making network components way back when, that Cisco cried foul that Huawei was bootlegging their code and putting out routers that were just like theirs, circumventing copyright laws. And they just copied and pasted their code. I don't know. They had a big legal battle for a long time. I think they settled that finally, but Huawei has kind of moved right into the global new world surveillance order anyway. I don't know if they've really gotten friendly with us, but absolutely, we've paid attention to them. I don't believe that any of the federal government is part of the FBO.gov federal contracts that they do for hardware and equipment. I don't believe Huawei is an approved vendor for any of our federal agencies because of the worries of them spying on communications through chips or whatever they want to put into their equipment. But Qualcomm also recently announced a new 5G radio prototype focused on the same batch of frequencies. The only advances at higher frequencies, those above 6 gigahertz, should count as real 5G because they would represent a paradigm shift for improving data rates and latency for future wireless networks. And they argue that sub-6G improvements incorporated into existing 4G and 4G Lite LTE networks are simply business as usual. The matter of what counts as 5G is not just a theoretical debate. It could have real impact on the trust that consumers place in carriers. And in the future, we're going to have to deal with that. It says instead, 5G will permeate every swatch of the spectrum from the low frequency used for narrow band Internet of Things all the way up to high frequency millimeter waves. So guys, that whole niche right there is gonna be owned by big boys like Google with their Skybender drones doing 5G and millimeter wave as a boost ubiquitously in low Earth orbit across the globe. And as we find out more and more technologies that can be utilized with millimeter wave, it has got to be absolutely concerning. And I don't know, really don't want to read too many more technical documents here on Tetrahertz radiation, but one of the things that I promised you we were going to look at There's a story, and maybe they just forgot all about this. 2009, October 30th, out of MIT Technology Review. There's a story titled, How Tetrahertz Waves Tear Apart DNA. And this is what concerns me. I mean, we listened to that TED Talk on Monday, and even the damage that they're discovering now that radiation from your cell phones do. We have wireless technologies as well. Like I said, we're being bathed in these 24/7, and now we have an FCC application, half redacted, from Google, looking at 5G spectrum as well as millimeter wave, which is in the tetrahertz spectrum, a new model of the way tetrahertz waves interact with DNA explains how the damage is done and why evidence has been so hard to gather. Now, we read a story a few days back that said, no, this doesn't cause any damage like microwaves. No, don't worry about it. Well, back in 2009, apparently there were already studies that showed the tetrahertz radiation tore apart DNA. And, you know, as we now see the ubiquitousness of CRISPR democratized across the globe, splicing and dicing, zipping and unzipping genes of organisms, all in the name of research and coming up with cures for cancer, it's got to be very concerning that they are looking at releasing a technology globally in low Earth orbit that could potentially unzip the killing part of the CRISPR technology, could unzip DNA. Great things are expected of tetrahertz waves, says this article from MIT Technology Review 2009. The radiation that fills the slot in the electromagnetic spectrum between microwaves and the infrared. Tetrahertz waves passes through non-conducting materials such as clothing, paper, wood, and brick. And so cameras sensitive to them can peer inside of envelopes, into living rooms, as well as frisking people at a distance. Yeah, that's your nude millimeter wave scanners right there. Guys, think about this. They can look inside of envelopes and see what you're sending. They can look through your walls into your living room, and they can look through your clothes with this technology. Now, let's give it to Google and put it in the sky. But not only that, it can tear apart DNA. This tetrahertz wave is absorbed and emitted, and it can also be used to determine the chemical composition of a material. So looking for biological or chemical or explosive residue. And even though they don't travel far inside of the body, there is great hope that at some point these waves can be used to spot tumors near the surface of the skin. Yeah, it's all about curing cancer. But with all this potential, it is no wonder that research on tetrahertz waves has exploded in the last 10 years or so. So, I mean, this is 2009. So this is from 99 or so. They've been doing some heavy research, but we found, again, from the 50s, they were using in the military space. But what of the health effects of tetrahertz waves? And at first glance, it is easy to dismiss any notion that they can be damaging. Tetrahertz photons are not energetic enough to break chemical bonds or ionize atoms or molecules. And the chief reason why high energy photons such as X-rays and UV are so bad for us, but could there be another mechanism at work? Now remember, we already read that story yesterday and the day before from 2012. Tell you about the lasers using tetrahertz at airports to scan you to determine whether or not you have any type of residue on you that could be criminal or indicate that you might be a terrorist. Well, listen to this. The evidence that tetrahertz radiation damages biological systems is mixed. Some studies report significant genetic damage, while others, although similar, showed none, says Bojan Alexandrov at the Center for Nonlinear Studies at Los Alamos National Laboratory in New Mexico. Hey, guys, this is all coming back to New Mexico, it seems. It's got to make you wonder why, of course, you got Los Alamos connected directly to the Manhattan Project. That's where it always comes back to, it seems. All of it, every single bit of it, I could tie back, beep, to those very projects. Alexandrov and company has created a model to investigate how tetrahertz fields interact with double-stranded DNA. And what they found is remarkable. They say that although the forces generated are tiny, reasonable effects allow tetrahertz waves to unzip double-stranded DNA. Now, this is exactly what CRISPR was doing. Creating bubbles in the double strand that could significantly interfere with processes such as gene expression and DNA replication. And that is just a jaw-dropping conclusion. It also explains why the evidence has been so hard to garner. Ordinary resonant effects are not powerful enough to do this kind of damage, but nonlinear resonances can, and these nonlinear instabilities are much less likely to form, which explains why the character of tetrahertz genotoxic effects are probabilistic rather than deterministic, says the team. Lots of techno babble in the way they cite that. I mean, long and short of the story is they've found evidence that it can unzip DNA strands potentially in 2009, but let's just go right ahead with it. Let's put it ubiquitously out there and stick it in the sky and beam it down on the ground and just see what happens. Says this should set the cat among the pigeons. Of course, tetrahertz waves are also part of the natural environment, just like visible and infrared light. But a new generation of cameras are also set to appear that not only record tetrahertz waves, but also bombard us with them. And if our exposure is set to increase, ding, 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 what I've been saying, this question urgently needs answering. And we need to know the level of tetrahertz radiation exposure that is safe. So there you go, guys. I mean, pretty scary supposition there. That in 2009, they had already found that there were potential damaging influences that could happen from being exposed to these frequencies. And not only that, that they could literally unzip our DNA. But how wonderful, because we have all this new mad science gone mad medicine that's running around out there talking about gene editing people on a mass scale and doing genetic therapies in the name of curing cancer, utilizing a CRISPR technology that can zip and unzip, unzip and zip DNA strands. So think about this just for 1 second. Stretch your brain a little bit. They started unzipping, bloop, 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 DNA, and they put some sort of newfangled synthetic bacteria that's been CRISPRed into your food or into your water even to get it across that blood barrier into your system so it could directly interact with your DNA. Or let's say, oh my God, they just detected some biological agent in your city. Let's declare an emergency. Let's call out the National Guard. And let's get ready to start giving mass inoculations out of the national stockpile of some of these new, not yet fully baked, but hey, all kinds of new technologies that we want to inject into you because it'll create a shape-shifting immune system that'll protect you against anything. Guys, I'm telling you, I see very, very, very disturbing future potential with some of these technologies that they are rolling out, and all of them seem like they're not quite related, but they are. MIT researchers and their colleagues are now designing, and this is a story September 9th, 2016, out of MIT Technology Review. They are now designing an imaging system that can read closed books. A new computational imaging method identifies letters printed on the first 9 pages of a stack of paper. In the latest issue of Nature Communications, researchers describe a prototype of a system in which they tested a stack of papers, each with one letter printed on it, and the system was able to correctly identify the letters on the top nine of the sheets. The Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York showed a lot of interest in this because they want to, for example, look into an antique book that they don't even want to touch, says a research scientist at MIT Media Lab and corresponding author on the new paper. He adds that this system could be used to analyze any materials organized in thin layers, such as coating on machine parts or, of course, pharmaceuticals. They are joined on the paper by an associate professor of media arts and sciences, as well as a research specialist on the camera culture group at the Media Lab, and the two group's other members are working from Georgia Tech. MIT researchers developed the algorithms that acquire images from individual sheets and stacks of paper, and they developed an algorithm also that interprets the often distorted or incomplete images as individual letters. It is actually kind of scary, says one of the researchers of the letter interpretation algorithm. A lot of websites have these letter certification captchas to make sure that you are not a robot, and this algorithm can get through a lot of those captchas. Well, yeah, but I would say that's probably the least of the scariestness. This system uses, yes, this very same technology that we've been talking about, tetrahertz radiation, a band of electromagnetic radiation between microwaves and infrared, which has several advantages over other types of waves that can penetrate surfaces such as x-rays and sound waves. Tetrahertz radiation has been widely researched for use in security screening because different chemicals absorb different frequencies of tetrahertz to different degrees, yielding a distinctive frequency signature by each. But by the same token, tetrahertz frequencies can distinguish between ink and blank paper in a way that x-rays can't. They can also be emitted in short bursts that the distance that it has traveled can be gauged from the distance between its emission time and its time at which it is reflected. In the researcher setup, a standard tetrahertz camera emits ultra-short bursts of radiation, and the camera's built-in sensor detects their reflections. While most radiation is either absorbed or reflected, some bounces off. And one of the tasks of the MIT researcher's algorithm is to filter out all the noise. And once they filter out the noise, they can start reading things on a page. At the moment, the algorithm can correctly deduce the distance from the camera to the top 20 pages in the stack, but past that depth of about 9, the energy reflected is so low that the differences cannot be determined. Tetrahertz imaging is relatively young. However, the researchers are constantly working to improve the accuracy and the power of the radiation sources, so deeper penetration should be possible. Guys, they want to make this as small and as powerful and as long-ranging as they possibly can to be able to utilize in the name of national security from low Earth orbit. I'm telling you, that is what this is all about. This is such a promising new surveillance technology. It's wonderful. So much work has gone into tetrahertz technology to get the sources and detectors working, with big promises for imaging new and exciting things, says Laura Waller, an associate professor of electrical engineering and computer science at California Berkeley. Of course, that's where Jennifer Doudna is as well. Ding, 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 ding. Jennifer Doudna, one of the grand mammies of CRISPR. So as we find out that they've done research already to discover the tetrahertz could unzip DNA, don't think that Jennifer Doudna probably doesn't know about that. I would have to say that since a lot of that research was going on at Los Alamos, which is fully connected to that whole range of University of California system there, college system, they fully 100% are aware of things that tetrahertz can do. This work is one of the very first to use these new tools, along with advances in computational imaging, to get a picture of things that we could never ever see before with optical technologies. And now we can judge a book through its cover. Yes. Or a person through its clothes. Or a letter through its envelope. Or, you know, give you really fast connectivity for your cell phone so you can download movies in a split second. And wear your real-time VR goggles with signals beamed down from space. This is horrifying, people. So as we march forward with this technology that nobody is watching the store. We had heard that Jeremy talking about cell phones, how the FCC is supposed to be regulating these frequencies and making sure that they're safe, really isn't doing much of anything. They're putting little warnings on and making sure that you're not interfering with your next door neighbor's television. But they're not watching the store as to potential damage that this could be doing to our bodies as we are bathed in these electromagnetic frequencies on a 24/7 basis from the sky. And remember, this is all going to be about the internet of everything. And they will be able to connect all kinds of surveillance devices to this new network. I just ran across this today. This is a story from yesterday. We were just talking before about them moving robots into the surveillance space, moving robots into helping fight crime. You know, let's see. Oh, and oh my God, how did that happen? All right, guys, I didn't even realize that. Make sure you stick around. Mr. Ken Blanche is live up next. Lots of great radio on a Thursday. And I will catch up with you tomorrow.